evening, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM and online, streaming at www.lakeshorepublicradio.org. Tonight, we've got a group that, a gentleman from a group that has toured all over the world, and they've been putting albums out for almost 18 years now. I remember the first album I got from them, going back home, 2000-2001, that was an indie label. And, they put several out since then. One of the best, in my opinion, was 2006 when they gave us Revelation Sunday. I'm talking about the Steepwater Band, originally out of Northwest Indiana, now based in Chicago and playing worldwide. We've got Jeff Massey, guitarist, vocalist, founding member, and songwriter with that group live in the studio. We'll be playing live, but first, let's let the music do the talking with the title track from that album. Revelation Sunday, this is Steepwater on Lakeshore.
You let me in, and now I thank you for your time. Someone cut my laws of fast, and in the dust I left the past. So bring tomorrow, don't be afraid. Revelation Sunday song. Well, you've been chosen. Yeah.
Tasty music there, Revelation Sunday, going back to 2006. That was, in my opinion, one of the best albums they did up to that point, because now they got new ones. Shake Your Faith, they've got Live and Humble, which is a great live album. I'm not a big fan of live albums, but that is definitely a good one. And we've got one of the guys featured on not only that, but all of the albums. Jeff Massey, guitarist, founding member, songwriter, singer of the Steepwater Band, live in studio. Jeff, welcome.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about Live and Humble.
Okay.
I say humble because that's the way Steve Marriott used to say it.
gotcha.
Let's talk about that. That is really an incredibly good live album. Was there any studio work on that, or is that really the recording we got?
It's a true live recording, and I couldn't think of more things that could have gone wrong that night. And
really?
It came out to be a great recording anyway.
It is. I mean, it's one of those, and I'm not a fan of live stuff, especially, you know, when you find out, like, the Kiss Alive album, there was so much studio work done to it later because the tracks were pretty poor. If it's going to be live, I think it should be live, and that felt very live. And having seen you guys perform before, I think it captured you really well.
Yeah, and I just mean go wrong is in terms of amps breaking and pedal boards going out, and we just persevered right through the show. And
where'd you record that at?
That
was that Doubledore?
No, that was at a now defunct place, which, oh my God, I can't even remember the name now because it closed. Tom, you're throwing me off.
Okay,
I'm having a total brain cramp. I'll think
That's
of it
right.
as
I
we
said
go
the
on.
Wrong station earlier. I went back 20 years there. Oh, Doubledore, you did a live album from the Doubledore.
We did do a live album from the Doubledore. But that was the first one. The Live and Humble was the one when Eric had just joined the band.
Right, Eric
Sailors.
He'd
been touring with us for a while.
You were a trio prior to that.
Yeah.
And then you added Eric
right.
on second guitar.
Right.
And he also sings.
Right, and we wanted to kind of capture that energy. You know, we were going to make a studio record, but instead we were like, well, we got all this fire, this new fire with Eric in the band. Let's go do a live record.
Why the decision to go from a trio to a quartet?
Well, we weren't really looking for anybody. We were playing as a trio and had our sound, and we're doing all right and playing gigs, and we were happy. But we started playing shows with Eric's band, the Healing Sixes in Indy.
And when Healing Sixes, I hired them. They had Jason Bonham in the band.
Right, yeah.
The drummer.
That's Eric's band.
I didn't
band.
Know that was his previous band, so I actually worked with him before you guys.
Okay, well, there you go.
Wow.
How odd is that?
All right.
But Eric would sit in with us, you know, when we do a show together, and when he would sit in with us, he would say, let's do one of your songs. He knew all our songs already. So rather than doing a cover tune, he would start throwing our songs at us. And after about that happening two or three times, we were like, hey, man, we weren't really looking for anybody per se, but, you know, it's going really good when you sit in. Why don't you come out and do some gigs with us and see how it goes? And after he did a few gigs with us, it was kind of a no-brainer just to add him to the band because the sound had expanded and it just brought us to a new level and opened so many more doors with Eric being in the band.
I think the first time I saw him do
the Ace Bar
show. Fullerton. Tom just handed me that, too.
We were talking about senility before the show came on. The Ace Bar wasn't open very long, so when you asked me, I'm like, the Ace
okay.
Bar.
Well, the first time I think I saw Eric with you guys was when you opened up for Whitford St. Holmes at Reggie's, which was just like 2 years ago.
Yeah, that wasn't too long ago.
So I think that was the first time I actually saw him perform a show with you. But it definitely works. I mean, you guys are a great band, and your chemistry and musicality, it's like you're all twin sons of different mothers. I mean, it's almost like you read each other. I haven't seen a band that worked that well together probably since The Band. I mean, those were guys that could read each other. And everything that could have went wrong, but yet it still came out sounding pristine.
Right. We just persevered through. Well, thanks for the compliment. Yeah, it's just we listen to each other when we're on stage. I mean, we all have a deep appreciation for the music. We love playing. And it's just a unit, you know. When you play so many gigs together and record a bunch of records together, you have kind of a musical understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain second nature thing that kind of goes on from playing so many shows.
Well, I remember the first of you that I met was Joe Winters, your drummer. And he was back, he was right out of high school with Mad World. He used to play shows at Club D, and I got to know him. And Joe was, he still is, one of the most amazing people I know. So down to earth, so nice to hang with, a funny guy, too.
Uh-huh.
You I did not know until Steepwater formed, which was probably 99, 2000-ish?
98. Officially 98, yeah.
What were you doing before? They were with Mad World. Todd and Joe were with Mad World. What were you doing?
Well, at the time I met Joe and Todd, when we first formed Steepwater, I was actually playing in a blues band called the Big Skinny Blues Band. And Joe came in to play drums in that band.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the bass player left that band and Todd Bowers came in to play in that band as well. And we actually played as the Big Skinny Blues Band for a while. It was a four-piece band. And a guy named Daryl Coots was in that band. And, he, you know, long story short, he ended up leaving to do other things in the blues scene. And the three of us decided to start a trio out of the ashes of the blues band and change the name to the Steepwater Band.
What's the reference to the name, Steepwater?
The name, well, the name is we were discussing names, you know, trying to come up with something we all liked. And me and a friend of mine were driving on the Skyway there, and we saw a barge.
Okay, by the granaries there?
Yeah,
okay.
And it said, warning, steep water on the barge. Now, I'm thinking, like, high water,
yeah,
you know, as in deep water. But, you know, looking back, steep water is actually a very dirty water.
Okay, so it goes with the dirty blues. Exactly,
the dirty blues, the southern twang. We just thought it
went... It's like a new take on muddy water.
Exactly, yeah, we thought it really fit what we were doing at
cool.
the time. So now, fast forward, we're still playing. I mean... Eric's in the band. Me and Joe are still in the band. We have a new bass player, Joe Bishop, is playing with us.
Yeah, Todd just now left the group for a while, but you said everything's great between everyone, but Joe Bishop's the new member.
Right, yeah, everybody's cool. Just Todd's looking to do some different things now and take a little break from our thing. And we got very lucky and found our new band member, Joe Bishop, who couldn't fit in better. We got very lucky.
And he's a Hoosier.
He is.
South Bend. Wow, good stuff.
Yeah, now, it really fits our style, so we're really happy that that's working out.
You are in the process now of recording and or mixing a solo acoustic album. Let's
yes.
talk a little bit about that. And I'm going to find out a little more about your roots with guitar, because you are so versatile, whether it's the slide, the picking, the finger picking. You have so many styles you can do.
Well, thank you.
I want to find out where that all came from. But first, let's talk about what's coming up with you.
Yeah, Last year, the band took a little bit of a break from touring, and I took advantage of the time to go into the studio. I went into Shirk Studios in Chicago, which is a fantastic place, great ambiance there, perfect for an acoustic recording in particular. And I do solo acoustic shows, and I always wanted to get a record that represented that. So I did a stripped-down record, basically sitting on a stool with a bunch of acoustics around me, a bunch of different microphones. And I did just sat there and played stripped-down versions of Steepwater songs
mm-hmm.
and some new songs and just some songs that I like in general, cover songs. And then I sifted through it, and I'm putting an album together, and it's going to mastering, actually.
When do you anticipate it to be released?
I'm hoping in the next – by spring, you know, okay. if not sooner.
Do you have a title?
I have a few I'm bouncing around.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't have an. I'm going to make an official announcement very soon. But it is recorded and it will be out. It's going to mastering, like I said, this week. Then so.
How many tracks?
There's going to be 12 tracks.
12 tracks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Now, when you say you wrote some new material, is this stuff that you're keeping for yourself for your solo shows, or is it something you'll bring to Steepwater and say, let's do full band versions?
I think we'll do full band versions, yeah.
Okay.
I think it would be cool, even though I have two songs that I just happened to write these songs at the time I was doing this acoustic thing and thought, wow, these are perfect for this. But I wouldn't see why we couldn't throw them in a Steepwater set, too.
Now, will this be released through Diamond Day Records, which is the Steepwater label?
Most likely, yeah. Yeah, and it'll be in all the same... formats, you know, be available on iTunes, and I'll have hard copies of CDs. I'm debating on vinyl yet.
Oh, you got to do vinyl.
I know.
Like I was saying, we have the Steepwater Best of the Diamond Days 2014 release in our store at Record Bin, and I only had a few days now, and we've sold three copies.
Yeah,
so I mean, there's a market
for vinyl.
You're
right. There is. Yeah.
And you guys, I hate to use the term hippie rock or jam band,
yeah.
but you guys have that following. You've
yeah.
got the twirlers, and you've got the jammers, and you've got all that stuff. And when I say twirlers, that's a reference for those that don't know the Grateful Dead. They all kind of twirl and do their thing.
Right. The
but you guys have that following. It's not to lump you in the same category, but it's very cross-pollinating.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we just do our thing. We write songs, and it's based in the blues, and it's based in a little bit of Southern rock and rock and roll, and it's just what we do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How it comes out is how it comes out.
Well, why don't you play a song for us? You got one of the new ones you could do? Or do you want to do an old one?
Let me start with an old one.
All right.
But when I say old one, the whole point of the record was to kind of show how even, you know, these very electric Steepwater songs, even some of the heavier ones, a lot of them started out just on acoustic guitar.
Okay.
So that's kind of the point of some of the material I put on there. Yeah, I'm going to do one called Roadblock.
Roadblock. All right. Jeff Massey live in studio on the Lakeshore. Check it out.
Somebody blocking the road, yeah. Somebody blocking the road. Somebody blocking the road, yeah. But we will get on through. We gonna get on through. Cause there's a bridge out over the water. Bridge out over the water. Bridge out over the water. But we will get across it. We gonna get across. We will get across it. I had some doubt in my mind, so I hung it on the line. Just a vine that's busy stirring in the breeze, crying please, 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 don't make me get down on my knees. Yeah, I got my feet stuck down in the mud. Got my feet stuck down in the mud. Got my feet stuck down in the mud, yeah. You gotta pull me up to land. Pull me up to land. Cause there's a storm coming through the valley. Storm coming through that valley. Storm coming through the valley. But the wind's gonna push us through, yeah. The wind's gotta push us through. The wind's gonna push us through, yeah. I had some doubt in my mind. Yeah, so I hung it on the line. Just a vine that's busy stirring in the breeze. Crying, please, 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 please. Well, don't make me get down on my knees. Hey! In my mind, yeah, you know I hung it on the line. Just a vine that's busy stirring in the breeze, crying please, 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 don't make me get down on my knees. Hey. Somebody blocking the road, somebody blocking the road, somebody blocking the road, yeah, but we will get on through. We gotta get on through, yeah. We will get on through. We gotta get on through.
All right. Jeff Massey of the Steepwater Band live, and that is Roadblock. And no roadblocks out there tonight unless it's black ice, maybe. I don't know. It's pretty rough out there. We are heating up the airwaves here at the Lake Shore with some great blues rock stripped down acoustic style to give you an idea of how these songs originated. And, Jeff, that was recorded by Steepwater.
Yeah, that's from our Grace and Melody record.
That goes back a ways.
About 2008.
Okay.
I hope that's the right year. I think that sounds right.
let's talk about the writing process. You write a lion's share of the band's material. Tell me about what makes it a Steepwater song? How do you know when a song is right and when it's done?
You know, I know it's done when I've stopped rewriting the lyrics. When I wake up the next day and I'm like, okay, I can live with that. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of ways we write them. You know, I'll bring a whole song to the band that'll have songs, lyrics, any arrangement, and the guys will go, that's great. Just leave it as it is. And then we have other things where, you know, somebody else in the band, like Eric or someone, will have like a body of music and he'll give it to me and I'll write the melody or the lyrics.
Does Eric do a lot of the songwriting too now?
He does. He contributes quite a bit. And, you know, right now, even with Joe Bishop being in the band, we've been getting together and rehearsing and coming up with ideas as a band too.
Okay.
Like, so if the band comes up with a cool groove that everybody's grooving on, it's kind of my job to take it home and make it into something as far as a lyric and a melody to pull it together. So there's a bunch of different ways, but it really is a group effort in the end.
Okay.
So, for sure.
You guys have a lot of albums out there. Mm-hmm. It seems like about every 3-4 years you put a new studio album out.
Yeah.
So you're probably about due. 2016, Shake Your Faith. So we're in 19 now. Next year, maybe? A new studio
Hopefully,
album?
I would hope for this year because we're writing already. Yeah, the sooner the better. We are definitely due for one. And so far we've, you know, in addition to me putting this acoustic record out, now the band's back to playing off our little hiatus that we took last year, and it's been really productive.
So you need a little downtime because you were playing, touring, playing, writing, releasing albums almost 8-9 years straight. I mean, there was really no downtime.
And 2017 was crazy. We went to Europe twice. We went all over the place. We were out west. We went down south until early 2018. So, I mean, it's great to be busy like that, but
right.
Yeah, you could use
a breather.
At some
point, you got to stop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, one of the other things that's very, very cool.
Get your bearings.
And that is you have opened for everybody. As we were talking when you were at the record store a couple weeks ago, Bad Company, Drive-By Truckers, Government Mule, Deep Purple. You've played to thousands and thousands of people in Spain, big outdoor festivals with top talented names that have been around for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Steepwater going up there and rubbing shoulders with these guys and getting the respect. Government Mule gives you respect. I mean, Savoy Brown, you've jammed with Kim Simmons by invitation.
Uh-huh.
So that's got to make you feel pretty darn good to have these guys that I imagine were heroes to you that are now looking at you as a peer and saying, come on, let's jam together, Jeff.
It's great. Yeah, it's a great feeling, especially the jamming together part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a bigger compliment than anything. You know, one of those guys asks you to play, and what a thrill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
is there video of any of that that you can?
Yeah, you know, thanks to the wonderful world of YouTube, there's a lot of it on video.
Wow.
Yeah, I think there's a video of us playing with Government Mule years back. I think somebody caught video of that recent jam with Savoy Brown.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the world we live in now.
Yeah. So. Well, we're Facebooking live right now here.
Yeah. For better
as well
or for
as
worse,
broadcasting.
You're going to be out there, right?
Yep. You're going to be there, so you may as well be at your best, I guess. What is it that got you into guitar playing? Like I said, I wanted to kind of dig down and find out because you are so versatile. Electric, acoustic, finger picking, with picks, with slide. I mean, you can pretty much play that guitar or any guitar in so many different ways.
Well, I had a lot of friends that were buying guitars around the time I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like this circle of friends that were all playing guitars, and most of them I think didn't last. It didn't stick. It was kind of like, let's all go get guitars kind of thing, and
we'll be famous.
But for me, it stuck. I really took an interest. It felt natural to me. Maybe I had this theory because if I played baseball, I throw righty and bat lefty.
Okay.
So when I grab a guitar, it just feels really natural to me. And I had some great teachers too. I did take some lessons for a while, and you know, there was a lot of influences early on. Like, I was really into Robbie Krieger.
Okay, he's been on this show, Robbie from The Doors.
Especially with the slide. He was one of the first slide players I got into. Before I went back and got into all the old blues guys, it was kind of filtered through
And
him.
It's funny because Robbie is not known for being a slide player.
And
people
he's a great
don't
slide player.
Think of him as a slide player.
He's got a great slide tone. I know, you know, things like Wild Child and Moonlight Drive. And then I got in, you know, like a lot of kids my age, I got into Jimmy Page. But that's where I got into that jack of all trades kind of guitar player, you know, like mm-hmm. someone like Jimmy Page would dabble in a little bit of everything.
Right.
You know, a little bit of folk, a little bit of rock, learn to finger pick, learn a little bit of slide, learn the blues.
Now, like it's Jimmy, do you play multi-string instruments? Do you do dobro or mandolin or anything like that?
If it's got strings on it, I can make some noise on it. Yeah. Yeah. If it's something without strings, it's going to be questionable. But if it's got strings, I could probably do something with it.
All right. We were talking about songwriting. Who are some of your favorite songwriters? And when everyone starts doing a new craft or a new art, they always emulate from somebody. Whose songs did you look for as far as structure and ways to write your material?
A lot of the classic bands, you know, sounds like typical answers, but they're really the masters, the Beatles and the Stones mm-hmm. and Led Zeppelin. I know Steepwater, especially early on. We still are. We're really big fans of some of the Black Crowes records. Thought were great records. I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan, huge Neil Young fan. And then, you know, there's so many. I'm just inspired by all kinds of songwriters that are lesser known than them, even.
Right.
So anything can kind of inspire you. But definitely the classic ones. I'm really into the, you know, we're big Stones fans.
Mm-hmm. That comes through.
Yeah. And they're masters of not just playing rock and roll, it's the way they arrange the songs, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason those are great songs.
I referenced Steve Marriott earlier from Faces and Humble Pie. Are you a big Faces or Humble Pie? There's a lot of that sound in your sound.
Love the Faces, love Humble Pie. I like a lot of psychedelic 70s rock. I like stuff like Robin Trower,
mm-hmm.
Really, all kinds of stuff. If you were at my house, you'd see a big giant pile of vinyl. So,
okay, we're going to go to Jeff's house after the show. You're playing acoustic tonight, and you play electric in the band mostly. Do you have a preference?
No, I love both. I really love both. There's something about just being able to pick up an acoustic guitar at home and make a song come across on an acoustic guitar at a live show, and I love the sound of acoustic guitars. And then I like to rock too, you know?
Okay.
I like to play big, loud rock and roll. So I can't, it's hard to say if I like one better than the other. I really enjoy both.
All right. Well, you got that guitar on. Let's do another song.
Okay. I'm going to do a new song called Oklahoma Sunrise.
This is brand new. No one's heard it?
Nope. I haven't been playing this one live or anything.
All right. Let's do it. Jeff Massey, live on the Lakeshore, 89.1 FM, and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org.
Oklahoma sunrise, hung up on the road, counting every mile, through the wind and through the cold. I see the crystal daylight frozen on the ground, winter in the headlights blowing all around. And I'm 1,000 miles from my hometown. I'm on the move and homeward bound. Texas in the evening, you sure have got me down. You feel a little warmer, but still I miss the sound of my girl laughing, even through the tears, smiling through the heartache, fighting through the fear. And I'm 1,000 miles from my hometown. I'm on the move and homeward bound. No one could ever know how much the love can grow from the highway to the show. And your voice sounds good to me.
You can call me anytime. I love to know your mind. Oklahoma sunrise, keep my heart intact. On the icy road to freedom, sliding our way back. The trip is getting longer, the songs are staying loose. Sometimes we are gypsies who slipped out of a noose. And I'm 1,000 miles from my hometown. I'm on the move and homeward bound. No one could ever know how much the love can grow from the highway to the shore. And your voice sounds good to me. You can call me anytime. I love to know your mind. I love to know your mind. I need to know your mind.
Jeff Massey live in the Lakeshore Studios, and great stuff there. You're listening to Midwest Beat, and Jeff, that's brand spanking new, you said, right?
Yes.
So that has not been heard anywhere?
Well, no.
Really? I mean, really, to the general public?
It's pretty new.
What's it like to debut a new song? Do you like working it before you record it in front of a live audience and road test it, so to speak? And when that happens... Jeff is singing to us again on Facebook. When that happens, do you take the response and do you tweak the songs further from what the audience responds to?
It depends. On our older records, there would always be like a good chunk of the record that was played live before we would record it. Mm-hmm. And we would say things like, well, we saw the reaction that song's getting. We got to do that song. And it would really influence what would go on a record.
Right.
But Shake Your Faith was a totally different animal, where we wrote all the songs really quick, didn't play any of them live, and tweaked them in the studio, and then didn't really play any of them live till the record was out.
And
so we've done both ways.
Okay. Do you have a preference then?
I think my preference is a little bit of both. I think we're writing songs right now, and I don't think any of us want to sit on them and wait. I don't think there's anything really to wait for. I think if the songs come together, go ahead and play them live and then have some more come up while you're in the studio. So I'd like to do a little bit of both on the next record, because they do evolve and they change and they find their groove when you start playing them live.
Do you have a working title for the next Steepwater Band album?
No, I don't have a working title, but we do have some songs that are coming together really
for
quick.
Sure that they're going to be on this? Are you still...
Unless we just write way more than we need and these ones get canned, but okay. I'm liking what I'm hearing so far. I mean, we are being really productive. It's just a matter of stop doing shows for enough time just to make a record.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're motivated enough this year where we'll get in the studio.
What is the studio situation like with you guys? When you go in, I mean, some bands will take months and some will go in and record a killer album in 4 days.
Yeah.
What is the typical timetable for you, and who's producing?
Well, I'd say that the typical timetable for us is usually about 2 weeks.
We do pretty that's quick.
Yeah. And we've had all kinds of producers. We did a record with Mark Ford from the Black Crowes out in California, and I think we recorded that in 10 days, and he mixed it after we got home, so it was probably a total of about 2 weeks. We did a record on the East Coast with a producer, Sean Coldry and Paul Slate, Sean Slate and Paul Coldry, sorry. we did a record right here in Indiana with Joe's brother at his studio, which is Rev Sunday. At his studio in Miller Beach, And that one, if I remember right, we did like in increments, like different weekends.
Okay.
So it's hard to
say. Kind of like a vacation album.
Yeah, just kind of start recording
over
there.
Hang out on the beach.
And put it together. And that's one of our best records, I think. So this next one, I don't know what we're going to do yet. We might self-produce it, or if some opportunity comes up to work with somebody, we might do it. But it's been a different scenario every time, which has been cool.
Do you guys like to self-produce? Do you put yourself in the role of assistant producers, or do you just say, you know, we wrote the songs, we're performing your songs, we don't want to be too close to it, we need that outside ear?
Both. I mean, but even when we self-produce, we'll have, like, we've worked with another buddy of ours, Colin Sipes, who's, you know, we end up giving him, he's engineering the record, but we kind of end up giving him producer credit, too, mm-hmm. because it's good, I think it's good to have somebody outside of the band go, hey, that ain't happening. If it's somebody you respect,
right.
their opinion, you know what I mean? Because you can get in your own little bubble and think
right.
something's really fantastic that isn't.
And how is the general response when someone says, and you're thinking, oh man, this is the best song I ever wrote. We're kicking it. We're killing it. And somebody comes, you know, I don't know. I mean, how do you take that as an artist?
Well, you talk it out, and somebody wins the battle, you know. And if you really feel strongly about something, you know, somebody's going to bend, but it's more like, you know, somebody going, hey, that line that you thought was great is completely out of key and not in a cool way. Sounds awful. Just things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, if you decide you're going to work with a producer, you got to be ready to work with the producer.
Okay.
Because there's no
and
point in hiring somebody you're just going to fight with.
Right.
You might as well self-produce it then.
So one
we've
of the
been
things,
in both boats. So.
One of the things about your albums, and of course we talked about the live album, Live and Humble, but one of the things about your studio albums is that they all have, excuse me, they all have that very live sound.
Yeah.
Is it that you don't like to do a lot of tweaking after the fact? Do you go in and record together? Do you call it in when different days, different members of the band come in? What is the functionality? Because it sounds live.
We try to play live as a band initially and record the guitars and the vocals with the option to keep those takes.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll all stand there and play as a band, even if we're not in the same room. And we a lot of times we'll end up being like, well, they call it the scratch vocal.
Mm-hmm.
That first vocal takes perfect. Just use that.
Okay.
Or the scratch guitar. So we try to get a live feel. With our style, it doesn't come across as good if you try to track everything separate. You might
right.
get this pristine recording, but it gives it a little on the sterile side.
But it's the dirty sound that really makes your sound unique. Just like the Crows, just like Spaces and Small Faces.
Right.
And when you hear the whine of the string, maybe, you know, George Benson may not like that, but it makes you, what you're doing, you know, a great song.
Yeah, we like to keep a little bit of raw edge, just because it's rock and we're a rock and roll band.
Right.
You know,
so rock and blues.
You don't want it, right, and blues. You don't want it too smooth.
One of the things that I remember, and I wish I could have been a fly in the wall at that, you were playing in Indiana, and Pinetop Perkins came down and sat in on the piano.
Yep. Yep.
And you recorded that. And we used to play that at my old station. Somebody recorded it,
yeah.
And it was there. And, I mean, what a great thing. It wasn't planned at all.
Yeah, it wasn't planned at all. And I thought it was very cool that our band could slip into, like, a traditional blues mode when
mm-hmm.
Pinetop went up there, and he loved Joe's drumming, you know, because Joe could do that easy
right.
shuffle that he wanted. And what a great, I think that happened more than once we ended up playing with him, but what a great opportunity. I'm so glad somebody got that.
It was Chicken
tape.
Shack or something, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Chicken Shack, and I think we might have done one other one, but yeah, definitely Chicken Shack.
Because that's what I used to play.
Yeah, what an honor to play with Pinetop Perkins. You know?
You played with Little Milton. You've played, as we mentioned, with Savoy, Bad Company, Paul Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
Is there one artist that you played with where, I don't want to say favorite or anything, but one where he just kind of knocked you out? He says, I'm just this kid from Indiana, and look who I'm sitting here with. Who was that aha moment, that pinch me moment for you?
That kind of happens when we're Buddy Guy.
Okay.
You know, I've had some opportunities where Buddy Guy's gotten on stage and sing, and I mean, that's a legendary figure right here in Chicago.
Right.
And so that always kind of takes me back a little bit to, like, well, hey, it's Buddy Guy.
Now, speaking of Buddy Guy, you have played there with Kenny Kenzie's band.
Yeah.
Funky Mojo.
I also play in Funky Mojo Daddy in addition to playing in Steepwater. Steepwater's actually played Buddy Guy's place, too. So I had best of both worlds there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are you out a lot with Kenny?
I'm very lucky because, you know, to be able to play in a band with Kenny, because everybody else has other things. You know, Kenny's in the Kinsey Report.
Right.
He has other things going on. But we seem to find the time, aside from our main projects, to keep the Mojo Daddy thing going. So we play pretty often. I can't say there's been a lot of traveling, but it's mostly Chicago, lower Michigan, Northwest.
And it's mostly covers that you guys do.
Yeah, it's
because you both have your original bands.
Yeah, but I think we could really do some great original stuff in that band. We talk about it. We just need to make the time to do it.
Okay.
But yeah, we do. We dig into old everything from old Muddy Waters to, you know, Sly Stone. It's it's a really great band with great musicians. Ryan Fromm is also in the band these days, and Jerry Porter on drums, and sometimes T.J. Jenkins on keyboard. But it's a fantastic band. Yeah.
Wow.
So it keeps my chops going. You know, I'm very lucky to be able to do that when I'm not doing the Steepwater thing. So.
We've got about 13 minutes left here. Let's do another song.
I'm trying to slyly tune here.
I noticed you were doing that. You're very nonchalant about it. And that's okay. It's live radio, and we're playing live music here in the studio with Jeff Massey, guitarist, vocalist, songwriter with the Steepwater Band, also with Funky Mojo Daddy, also a solo performing artist who has jammed with just about everybody. Are you all set?
I'm all set. Yeah, I got me in my my open tuning here.
I see the slide is on the finger.
Yes.
What do you want to do?
I'm going to do a song that was originally on our Revelation Sunday record, and I recorded an acoustic version of it for the acoustic record called Collision.
All right, this is Collision.
Blood in the water, baby, there's blood on the land. Mean things on my mind and blood in my hands. Saw a collision in the middle of the road. It made me think of you and how to get back home. Turn down the lights for me. Let me go down slow. I got my maker to meet and my soul to let go. When I was helpless, yes, you turned away. Saw a collision heading straight on your way. And now between us, yeah, there ain't nothing left to say. Just like two love trains that wander through the day. Turn down the lights for me. Let me go down slow. I got my maker to meet and my soul to let go. Everywhere that I go, that string of bad luck collides with all I know. It's no coincidence, it ain't no show. There's a collision everywhere that I go. Turn down the lights for me. Let me go down slow. I got my maker to meet and my soul. turn down the lights for me. Let me go down slow. I got my maker to meet, and my soul will let go. My soul will let go.
Collision off Revelation Sunday, going back to 2006, a stripped down, unique version. That's going to be on the album, I'm hoping, the acoustic album.
For sure, for sure.
All right. Now, that song did very well. As I mentioned, both Revelation Sunday and Collision were big, big requests on my former station when I was doing the Night Rock show. And they're still both in the current show, as far as I remember. Both of those, correct?
Okay.
In the band shows?
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, we rotate a lot of songs, but those...
We have a lot of songs to rotate. But something else that I didn't realize is that Collision, the band version, appeared in the motion picture One for the Money.
It did, yes.
With Catherine Hegel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did that all come about?
Well, I don't know. I think a company placed that for us. And I don't remember which one. The more interesting story would be Baby, You're on Your Own, actually. I don't mean to change subjects.
Well, that's fine.
Because that was, I think the Catherine Heigl one was just like a standard company that plays songs, and they just happened to get a placement for us.
All right.
Whereas we were in, a 5-year engagement. We had a song called Baby, You're on Your Own. That was more interesting as far as how that got placed because... They were just looking for a band from the Midwest and stumbled upon us on the internet, stumbled upon our music.
Okay.
And used like 2 minutes of Baby, You're on Your Own in a movie where all the other music was all written by Van Morrison except us.
Oh, how cool
so
is
thought,
that?
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
What was the scene where they used it? Do you remember?
Oh, God, I haven't seen it in so long.
I assume you guys all own like the DVDs and VHS tapes.
Yeah, but I want to say it's a trying to win her back kind of scene where he's running around town doing something. I don't know, but the song was Loud and Proud for a good 2 minutes in it.
Wow.
And I mean the Catherine Heigl thing was cool too, but not as interesting of a story.
Do you still get like royalties on that stuff?
Yeah, you know, it could be a different amount every time, though.
Yeah.
You know, they have their companies, ASCAP and BMI, that monitor that stuff after the fact.
And if the movie's not a mega hit, I mean, it's probably pennies or you know, small dollars.
Well, it can be, if it's on cable and it's syndicated, you might get like, oh, hey. And then next time might be like,
oh, oh hey.
Hey. So
I
wouldn't depend on it, but.
Okay. Of your albums, and this is going to put you on the spot, of your albums, band albums, is there a favorite that you would recommend people to start at, besides the greatest hits, the best of?
You know, I do like all the albums. I'm really happy with how all the albums came out. But I think a good representation for me, and I know you're not a live album fan, but I, whenever somebody comes asks me, I always say Live and Humble.
Okay, I agree.
It captures
again, that's
us
a great
live.
Album.
Yeah, it captures us live. And it's really what the band sounds like in a live situation, and it's a great recording. And
I would agree. I mean, I think that is a great album. Like I said, I'm not a fan of live albums, but that one I am a fan of. A handful, I could count them. That one, Rare Earth, maybe, their live, the Backpacks album. There's a handful of them out there that are really good. Most of the stuff has been picked up by your record label, Diamond Day Records. What about Brother to the Snake and Going Back Home? Those were early ones, which I think as a fan were great releases for the time.
Yeah.
Are they still available?
Brother to the Snake is not. Brother to the Snake and Dharmakaya were actually on a label called Funzalo Records. And I keep hearing talk about those being reissued.
Mm-hmm.
In like a package together, but it has yet to happen, and that's kind of out of our hands because
it's a different label.
And I hear mention of them doing that, but otherwise, you just kind of have to find the occasional copy on eBay or whatever.
Right.
But those are technically pretty much out of print. As far as what we sell, the farthest we really go back is Rev Sunday,
which is 2006,
right after Dharma.
Okay. Dharmakaya is a great record, though.
Yeah, all those records, you know, it just depends on
I'd like to have them all available, but it just depends what you want to sink your money into as a band.
Right.
Keep, you know, when you have that many records.
And you got new songs to push.
Yeah, and you
got to
keep your last 10 years available.
As a songwriter, when you hear those old albums, do you feel they still hold up? Or are you really critical of them?
I mean, I have a trouble listening to my own music, like, just for joy without going, finding something like, oh, I could have sang that better. But yeah, when I listen back to them, I like what we're currently doing. I'm motivated about what we're doing now, but
okay.
Yeah, I like them. I don't listen back and go, oh God, that's awful.
Now, when the solo acoustic album comes out, hopefully in spring or sooner, it'll be posted at the Steepwater site, correct?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm going to have it on every outlet that's possible to the Steepwater record.
All right. And again, that'll be on the Diamond label. Steepwaterband.com. Actually, the Steep. No, what is it? What is the website? Steepwater.com.
Steepwater.com.
And it's the Steepwater Band on Facebook, I believe. I think.
That'll get you there. Yeah.
Anyway, Steepwater. Yeah, just type in Steepwater. You guys are everywhere.
Yeah.
We're down to it. Let's play out. Let's do something to say goodbye and head into the news. Jeff, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me. I had a really good time.
So all right.
I appreciate
it. Let's do it to it, and let's give it to the people one more time.
Got love, well, you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got love to lay down on the line, if you ain't got love and you tell yourself you got something, well, you ain't got nothing but a hard time. If you got a girl, take 'em by the hand. If you got a girl, take 'em by the hand. If you got a girl, make her understand. If you ain't got love, you got nothing but a hard time. Girl, take your man by the riverside. Girl, take your man down by the riverside. Girl, take your man by the riverside. And tell your man you ain't never gonna run and hide. If you ain't got love, well, you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got love to lay down on the line. If you ain't got love and you tell yourself you got something, well, you ain't got nothing but a hard time. If you ain't got love, well, you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got love to lay down on the line. If you ain't got love and you tell yourself you got something, well, you ain't got nothing but a hard time.